the Chicagoverse podcast on the Dynasty Podcast Network, featuring interviews with Chicago's premier artists and industry and creatives and culture leaders. Hosted by Haima Black. Welcome to Chicago.
Dynasty Podcasts on Oscar night. Obviously, everybody's watching this instead, of course. My name is Haima Black. It's our second week broadcasting live from the Cards Against Humanity podcast studio in Chicago, Illinois. So amazing of them to let us use their space. Eternally grateful. Just such a cool move. So shout out Cards Against Humanity and the Chicago Podcast Co-op for having us here. I have my producers Ingrid Legends and Julia, I just realized I don't know how to pronounce your last name. Johannic. Okay, so Ingrid Legends and Julia Johannic here repping for Dynasty Podcast, running our broadcast. And our first guest of the night, man, I'm very excited. We have OG Webby here. How are you doing, man?
I'm really good. It's really wet and cold outside, but I mean...
It is. But it's like a spring shower. It's like not like a winter
shower. Yeah, man, thank God. It's been... I don't know. Chicago weather is always like up and down. It's like a roller coaster. So like it'll be like sunny one day, and the next day it's just like
freezing.
The complete opposite. So just get used to it.
Yeah. Are you from Chicago? Like born and raised, or mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm from the South Side of Chicago. I was born more in like the Hyde Park area, so like 63rd and Blackstone. But my grandma, she actually had got a crib out off of Sunny Fifth in South Indiana. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, going back and forth between there and Calumet City.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, right near the border, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we always start with kind of some background and kind of the origin story before we get to what the artist is doing currently. But, like, let's start there, man. Like, talk about how music came into your life, how you got started, when that happened for you.
I always loved music when I was younger. And I think my biggest people I have to thank for is probably my father and my brother. The reason I say my dad, because he actually, like... He put a piano in front of me, like, when I was, like, 5 years old. And then I, like, pretty much, like, you know, like, the little songs that are, like, at the top, like, that you kind of, like, play along with and learn? I pretty much learned all of them at, like, five or six because I just knew how to pick up, like, music by ear. So, and then, let me see, that was the first start. And I think I did, like, band, yeah, when I was in high school as well. I think for, like, 2 years. I played trumpet.
So, man, so it's really interesting because, like, as I've been interviewing everybody and asking them kind of, like, when this starts and everything, more and more I'm hearing that it's, like, the people who are successful who are doing music currently in their adult life, in their 20s, their 30s, mm-hmm. they're all people who started, like, oh, man, it was, like, you know, I was 2 years old and there were, like, Jackson 5 records in the house. So, like, I was five and they put me in front of a piano. It's, like, it's so important to start that young. So it was always something that was always in your life, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's what anything. Like, if you have, like... If you even look at, like, athletes or, like, actors or, like, people like that, they had something that influenced them that made them choose the career path that they chose. Like, I'm pretty sure Derrick Rose, again, he probably was playing basketball young age.
Yeah.
Football players, like, same thing, so.
I was podcasting in the 80s. I'm just kidding. yeah, right on, man. So how long have you been active, you know, in your adult life as, like, an artist that people are aware of, would you say?
I would say officially, I guess in the mainstream world, probably like a year. Because like I said, after Dark Sky Paradise had dropped, and it was around this time actually too, because when I had met Sean at South by Southwest, it was still fairly new. He was still doing like, you know, like Fader Fort, like all his stuff. So I guess officially a year. But I guess I could say like I really was quote unquote fine-tuned as a producer. I would say like 18. 19, so...
That's crazy. So real early, and we're going to get to, like, all the cool, like, the big names that I think everybody, of course, wants to hear about, but, like, for you, when you were kind of finding your footing a year ago or further back, like, you know, before you're approaching Big Sean, like, how were you establishing yourself as an artist and finding the confidence to, like, you know, put yourself out there with some really big names?
I think the biggest thing with me, like I said, I was still in, like, the fine-tuning process, but... It's just practice. Practice makes, I hate to be very cliche, but practice makes perfect.
No, it's totally
so
true.
So I felt like the more I was working on music, the more, like, sonically I was hearing, like, okay, this needs to sound like this. I feel like these frequencies go, because I used to also go to school for audio engineering.
Okay.
So I'm, like, not a stranger to, like, all the, like, hertz and, like, complicated stuff behind it. But it's funny because I actually see more, like, practical use out of the people I ran into than actually going to school for it.
Well, so, you know, I feel like there's a number of ways to get an education. I teach at Columbia College.
Oh, that's a school, actually, I went to.
There you go, man. But it's like, I fully believe that, you know, like college can and is so important, but if you're not growing outside of it, if you're not doing like internships or collaborations or meeting other people, like, you're selling yourself short. So it sounds like you were very aware of that.
Yeah. I just had to kind of like honestly, school's for some people, school's not for everybody. So it's like, I kind of had to find my comfort zone and just see how would be like the best progression for me as I won't even limit it to say like producer or DJ. I'm just going to say artist because at the end of the day, I am creating some form of art form, you know, sonically. Yeah. So
so you're going to South by Southwest. You meet Big Sean there. Like, was that a festival you were attending every year, or was that like your first time?
Man, believe it or not, that was my first time. So crazy. It's always going to be my first one and my dopest one.
Yeah, it's hard to top that.
Yeah. So unless you meet like Kanye.
Well, you know,
but
so
the chances are pretty slim though, him being down there. So
they are, although I will say, like, real quick aside, I'm gonna tell a Kanye at South by Southwest story. I got two and we're gonna get through them quickly, but since you brought it up, man, the first one, it was right after Twisted Fantasy. He was doing the Vivo showcase and there was no order to it. It wasn't a South by show, so it wasn't like guaranteed to get in with the badge. And then they had like this whole text system, and like you'd text and then he'd be like, you're in the show, and then they would like take that away and they'd be like, just kidding, you have to text again. It was a mess. So I was like, I'm getting into the show no matter what. So I waited in line from like 9 a.m. because I was like, I'm just going to be at the front of the line. There's no way they won't let me in then. Waited 11 hours for that show. It was amazing. Man, the second time I saw Kanye at South by, it was like 2 years ago. It was him and Jay, and they had a line around the block, but the block was the size of like Grant Park. But it, like, you know, you had to get a wristband. And they were like, if you have a wristband, you're getting in. You're getting in. You're getting in. Yeah. So I get to the front of the line, like, fire marshal. I was like, fuck. So I saw that there was a VIP line. I walked into the VIP line. I put my head down, put my hoodie over my head, and put my wristband up, and just followed the people into the venue and went into the venue. But I did not get to meet Kanye or Big Sean at South by. So you still have me beat. So let's talk about like some of the collaborations. Like, who are some artists that you've collaborated with? I think Big Sean, of course, is like the big one that I think a lot of people would know. But kind of how did you lead up to that point?
Like I said, I was originally working with Mano.
Yeah.
I guess, like in the city when I first got into Chicago, cause like I was still trying to feel and figure my way to see who I'd like best fit with and in the scene. So it's funny cause I didn't even tell Mano I produced, I told my DJ and he was just like, oh yeah, here's my email. You want to send me mixes, blah, blah. Cause I've always seen him since I was a kid, like in high school. So, you know, when he was doing, the whole thing with Hope, which is his album's out now, man.
Yeah, it is.
Amazing, like really good album. But with him, like I said, he's one of the very first people I met. So that kind of was like, it clicked right away. I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to be like really good friends with him. Cause like some people on that like status or like stature, you would think would be like a little bit more on a cocky, like arrogant as far as like, well, okay, yeah, you came to the, you know, the hat release, blah, blah, that's cool. And then just go about it. But he was, like, really, like, humble, and it was just like, you know, yo, I really appreciate it. Like,
it's really funny because, like, and, like, I've known Mano through the scene, but I don't want to make it sound like we, like, play golf together every Sunday. But it's like, you know, I've met him out in enough events and stuff like that. Like, the dude is so nice. And then his Twitter persona is, like, it's a different story. But, like, face-to-face, he's a really nice, low-key, chill, like, friendly dude.
Yeah,
and I think not
person.
Everybody knows that. Or maybe he doesn't want to. But, you know, you look at someone like Holt, and you look at someone like Mano and like, Mike Taher, and those guys are, like, really kind of elder statesmen, you know, who really, I think, broke down a lot of barriers that paved the way, I think, for a lot of hip-hop artists in Chicago now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Especially when that's funny you say that. It's when the quote-unquote hipster scene was first kicking off. So it's just like, a lot of things they were doing, like I said, it was still, like, fresh, unique. It was Mano, Hope, the Cool Kids, like
Floss, like, yeah, Kid Sis. So. Like, I was out in those days, man, when I was young. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, there was, like, the Dark Wave Disco Wave, and that was, like, all the kind of electro white kids. And then you had, like, all the hipster kids going to, like, the Floss parties at what's that place called up north? Oh, shit, where did Flossradamus used to do their resident town hall?
Yeah.
Town Hall Pub, and like, and Mano and Holt were like everywhere, just hustling so hard. And it's really cool to see where they've come now, but it's been a long time coming. Like, they've been in the game a long time.
Oh, yeah. So, definitely. I'm surprised. No, I wouldn't even say I'm surprised they didn't go a little bit more mainstream, because I mean, I think everybody's in a good space right now. Like, mm-hmm. Hope just dropped his album. Manon just won a Grammy, so like everybody is just.
They've put in their time. You
know, yeah.
They put in their time, and they definitely broke down a lot of doors for a lot of people. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you were working with them, and it looks like you're still really active with Treated. Is that the case? Oh, yeah.
Still definitely a member. Like, Mano, I try to see him as much as possible because I like to have him, like, curate my production a little bit because, like I said, his ear is a particular, like, he knows, you know, what sounds, like, really good, and he'd be like, yo, maybe you need to touch up on this and that, blah, blah, blah. So I like his opinion on my production.
I mean, that's amazing, like, to have him as kind of a mentor and sounding board, though, man. That's really valuable, I would feel like.
Yeah. You know? Him and another one, excuse me, but him and Mike Dean as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even yeah. Mike Dean's, like, he's basically a pioneer in the hip-hop industry. So it's like, when I send him stuff, I'd be like, yo, what do you think I can, like, work on better? Sonically, and like just keep staying on tune with like what's like true to myself as far as my production.
So what kind of like I guess what kind of insights have you gained from working with this kind of talent, you know, and like having, you know, because not everybody really has great mentors, I don't think, and
mm-hmm.
You know, it's really valuable, I think, when you do. So like how do you think that's helped you grow?
Oh, it's helped tremendously because it's like they've taught me so much, like, far as everything from, like, VSTs to, like, EQing and, like, all, like, the technical stuff. And then even like, just as people, like, they're good people. Like, they actually, like, they care, you know, about the art, and they care about, you know, artists that they run across and, you know, the people that consider their friends. So
I think that's a good word to, like, really ascribe to, especially, like, the Treated movement. It's, like, art. Like, yeah. they care about it so much, and that comes through, like, very clearly. Mm-hmm. It's something they put a lot of thought behind. So, okay, so you've got this, like, great relationship with, like, Mano and some really great talent. You go to South by Southwest. How do you get to the point where you're linking up with Big Sean and you know, doing this stuff with Kanye and everything?
Yo, this story is really funny to me, how I met Sean. But, because I was originally, he was doing an interview with Elliot Wilson mm-hmm. at the convention center. I was DJing for, like, four artists when I was down there. Like, so my itinerary was pretty, like, stupid crazy. But I had tried to get over to the convention center. I literally finessed past everything and got to the last door. I was like, oh, yeah, this is it. About to meet him, talk to him, blah, blah. No, they were like, yeah, you're missing one more, like, criteria to get in. Sorry, blah, blah. And I'm just like.
Sounds like South by Southwest.
So then I was just like, whatever. So I ended up walking away because I had to go to my next gig. But it just so happened, I just randomly saw him on the street. And my friend's like, yo, that's Big Sean. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, dude, if you're trying to be funny, I'm really not in the mood. So I was like, when I saw him, I was like, oh shit, it is Sean. It's Big Sean. I was like, yo, well, I didn't even say it. My friend was like, yo, he produced All Your Fault on your album. So he, like, after Sean heard that, he stopped. He was like, what? And I was like, and then when I saw him, I was like, yo, I actually produced, like, one of your, you know, hottest tracks, in my opinion, on his album. And he was like, yo, that's crazy, because he even said himself, he was like, man, that's, like, one of my favorite songs of the whole project. Like, he was talking how he was asking Kanye back and forth. He was like, yo, can I, because it was originally supposed to go on the album that came out, The Life of Pablo, when it was originally Swish. So
the ever-evolving Life of Pablo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you produced the track before he even met you, before he knew who you were.
Mm-hmm.
How did that get set up?
Mano. It's funny because they're, you know how good music is. They usually have one big room and then they're like just all scroll through beats and stuff like that. So Mano had hit me up one night and he was just like, yo, send me whatever you got that you know, think is like in good taste, blah, blah, this and that. So I was like, all right, I sent him like, I think like 15 beats. And again, All Your Fault was the one that stuck out the most to everybody.
So, I mean, that's crazy, though. Like, how surreal was that when you found out that that was going to be on the Big Sean record, you know, or that it was going to, like, even when it was, you know, originally going to be ascribed to Kanye, you know?
It was an amazing feeling. It's just, like, it's just one of those, like, very few moments you have in your life when you're like, man, like, everything that I've worked for and, like, have finally, like, paved to get to is starting to, like, show. And you're getting results where it's, like, it makes you want to, like, stay up longer at night, work harder.
Yeah.
Keep, like, just keep getting to it because it's like one of those. Game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's still probably going to be one of my best feelings to this day, because it's like my first official placement.
So now that you have that, like, under your belt, you have these great relationships, you have great mentors who have taught you a lot, you know, you're getting your name out there, you're producing, like, where do you go? What does that open the door for you to do, and where do you want to take it?
I mean, the sky's the limit, honestly. Like, you get exactly what you put into it. So I'm continuously shopping my production around the artists, whether it be dope locally or even, like, on another level. Like, even, like, one of my best friends, like, Faye, I'm working on his project and curating that, his whole sound and everything. Of course, you got people in Treaty Crew I work with, like, exclusively, and try to get them, like, the best I can. So it's, like, the whole national level of, like, quote-unquote being mainstream as a producer is cool, but I still try to, like, stay local and still work with people. So.
Well, I mean, Chicago just has such an amazing talent base.
Yeah.
You know, and especially right now, we're really in this golden age of, like, emerging talent coming up in the Chicago hip-hop community. So it's great to see, like, everyone from, like, Martin Skye to Saba to Mick Jenkins. It's, like, there's no shortage of, like, amazing talent that's coming out of the city right now.
I agree. And it's, like, very well-rounded. It's not one-sided. It's not, like, this one particular style that's coming out. It's, like, right now Chicago is a melting pot when it comes to, like, the music side.
Yeah.
So
it's amazing, man. So you have a lot of events that you do as well. You've got the Lit with Webby series, right?
Yeah. I'm kind of
love that title.
Appreciate it. I'm gonna step away from Lit with Webby for a few. I think it had a nice run. It definitely had really, like, dope nights, but I feel like I want to go with something a little bit more different as far as, like, my branding. Like, instead of doing Lit with Webby, I might do something more like OG Webby Presents, or, like, just try to incorporate my name a little bit more. So that way, when people see, they can, like, be familiar with it. Even with my logo is a very distinctive, like, has a very unique look to it, so.
Well, you look at, like, what, like, DJ Oreo has done, you know, and in a short time, he puts his name on an event series, and, like, you know that it's, like, it's a certain type of event, and it has a certain level of quality, and.
Oh, yeah, so, and, yeah, you know, absolutely. The certain amount of energy is going to be there.
Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. So how can people find out everything they want to about you, like, follow you online, hear your music? What are the best platforms and kind of outlets for people to check in with you?
I'm very heavy on SoundCloud as far as, like, everything I put out. So you put OG Webby is for that. Pretty much everything is, like, my name from Twitter, Facebook.
All that stuff.
All that stuff.
And so. You have a really solid SoundCloud presence. It's very well curated.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Dude, this is awesome.
Before I forget, too, I'm actually doing an event this Thursday. I'm bringing Sony Digital out from Atlanta.
What day is that?
This Thursday. I think is it the 4th or the 3rd? It's one of those two dates. Okay. But, yeah, so it's going to be
my producer looking at her calendar.
It's the 3rd,
okay,
right?
So yeah, Thursday is March 3rd. So people will hear this podcast a few days later. So Thursday, March 3rd, where is that again?
It's going to be a Primary nightclub. You know, it's off of, I think, what, Division and State?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, right over there.
It's going to be me, Sony Digital, Mano, and my other friends, Bibby and Gio. Their Fancy Fucks as a collective. So
Fancy Fucks is doing cool stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing,
I really,
like,
their
experiment night. Like, yeah. Right now, man. Well, all this is amazing. I would love to check in with you down the line on the podcast, like, as you have other things happening. Like, please feel free, you know, shoot me a line. Let me know when there's other things going on. Like, we'll bring you on and we'll talk about all the cool other stuff you have happening.
Awesome, man. It's most definitely a pleasure being here. I love talking about, like, music. Is this something, like, I'll probably never get tired of, so.
Dude, the door is always open, man. This is great, and I feel like you're going to have tons of great stories in the future for us, man. So, OG Webby, it was great to have you on for the first time. Let's not make it the last, man. I really appreciate it.
Most definitely. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to a production of Dynasty Podcast. Find more Dynasty Podcasts at dynastypodcast.com. For the Dynamic Dynasty, Dynasty Descend.